Hello, hello, and welcome to the acclaimed global speaker series, Soul Speak. I'm your host and founder of the series, Sheldon Piznat. And today we're going to be talking with a pioneer in the field of personal development, Dr. Joe Vitale, about attracting money and wealth, as well as making peace with cash. And, you know, as I was thinking of this interview today and how to best introduce Dr. Vitale and his work, the image that came into my mind's eye was this beautiful music hall with the conductor leading this large orchestra in this elaborate and graceful symphony. And that's Dr. Joe, our conductor, and the universal principles, healing tools and modalities, the wisdom teachings, etc., were all the notes, the music in this wonderful symphony. And we were all the musicians and simultaneously the audience, both witnessing and executing in service to uplifting our lives and everyone around us. But before we get into the meat of this masterclass, let me give you some background on Dr. Vitale, for those of you who don't know him, and why he is such an authority in the personal development field and on the subject of attracting wealth. To say that Dr. Joe Vitale is a man of many talents and accomplishments is an understatement. To millions of readers, seekers, listeners, and movie watchers, he is the man who speaks to their fervent desire to enhance their lives. He is a source of simple but profound life-changing wisdom, words that inspire, and music that touches their hearts. He shows that miracles can be achieved every day. Dr. Joe is a luminary of the personal growth world, one of the stars of the blockbuster film The Secret, and the author of multiple best-selling books, too many to count. The man known as Doc as Mr. Fire introduces people to universal laws, practical systems, and methodologies that provide an astonishing pathway to freedom from limitations and a means to achieve unlimited personal power, wealth, and success. In short, achieving miracles. So we're blessed to have him. I feel grateful to not only be a beneficiary of his work and a colleague. Welcome, Dr. Joe.
Thank you. That was a very warm and loving intro, and I love that image about the conductor. I was right there with you in the music hall. That felt good, and I heard the symphony. We sounded fantastic. Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. So some of the folks in our audience may not be as familiar with you as I am, and they might not know how you've lived both sides of the polarity continuum, from being homeless and on the streets in your earlier life to living now with abundance and prosperity on so many levels. What happened back then to propel you from rags to riches?
The short answer is I woke up to my programming. I realized that my beliefs were creating my reality, and as blunt and stark and shaking as that was back in the late 1970s, to realize that I was homeless and then went into poverty for almost 10 years, completely because of unconscious beliefs, was actually the turning point. Because I was doing, like so many people, all the right things. I wanted to be an author. I was writing. I was submitting articles. I was doing what was known to do back then. This, you know, this is decades before the internet and things we take for granted today. But it was really discovering the power of belief and how I could change my beliefs, and when I did, I would change my reality. So the person I am today, well, physically, I guess I'm in the same body. I'm not in the same environment. Back then, homeless in Dallas, poverty in Houston. Now I live in the Texas Hill Country, and I guess I live the lifestyle of the rich and famous because it's pretty cool, and I prefer this. This is better.
Yeah, I would imagine all of most of our audience out there, if not all of them, would be agreeing with you. The power of belief and those pesky little unconscious beliefs. Well, as a beneficiary, as I was saying, I'm a student of your work and grateful for that. And as a colleague, I know that you've distilled a 7-step process for attracting wealth. So can we go through those steps now? Can we just jump right into that?
Well, we can. I am totally willing to help people, and I've actually written a whole book about this. that I'll give to your listeners. So I'll tell them how they can have the book in a minute. But if you want to go through the seven steps, we'll do it one at a time. We'll do it, you know, an abbreviated version of it. But the very first step, which ties into the answer I just gave, is about altering how you think. And I believe that we are in a belief-driven universe. Change your beliefs and you get a different universe. What we're seeing right now is based on our filters, our perceptions. And our filters and perceptions are based on our belief system. It's just that we don't know that, and most people have never even heard that. And once they do hear it, once they do accept it, now you have to do the inner work to find out what those beliefs are so you can change them. So the whole first step in this whole seven-step formula for attracting money now is to realize we have beliefs about ourselves, about deservingness, and about money. And we got to clean up those beliefs. Most of us don't feel that we're good enough. Most of us on an unconscious level don't think we're entirely likable or lovable or good enough, that we fall short in some way, shape, or form. And so when it comes to attracting or earning or in any way acquiring more money or good things in our life, a part of us doesn't believe we deserve it, and it pushes it away. And that's self-sabotage. And again, these are big lessons for us. Most people will deny it. Most people won't accept it. But once you do accept it, integrate it, and start to work with it, and change your beliefs about yourself, your sense of deservingness, now you can allow good things in your life, whether that's better health or a better relationship or a better job or more money or fill in the blank. It's the same thing with beliefs about money. Almost everybody has an unconscious belief that is keeping money away from them, no matter how hard they work or how hard they imagine or how many times they attend or write affirmations or visualize. And that belief that is operating in virtually everybody listening is money is the root of all. And I don't have to finish the sentence because everybody said evil. Well, as long as they think money is evil, they're going to find ways to push it out of their lives. They'll allow enough to survive. They'll call it a necessary evil. But they'll push it away as fast as they can. This is why so many people who suddenly inherit money or win the lotto or suddenly come into a great windfall, when they haven't grown into accepting the money, they will find ways to get rid of it. They'll invest, they'll spend, they'll give, they'll do all kind of things. And before you know it, they are poorer than before they won the lotto or they got their inheritance. Why? It's all because you have to do step one. Alter your beliefs about yourself, about deservingness, and about money. That, to me, is step one, because none of the other steps are really going to work until you take care of the first step, your mindset. That's why I am spending so much time on it in my book, in my conversations, and most of my work. Right? Does this follow?
Absolutely. And I have a quick question for you. Why in your experience is that, you know, because certainly some people out there grew up with a healthy family of origin in relationship to money and were modeled, I would imagine, some positive or even neutral messaging about money. But why is it such a common unconscious belief?
Well, first of all, I have not met anybody, I mean anybody, who has had a comfortable upbringing around money. Nobody, ever. They probably exist out there, but I've not met them, and I've been around the world many times speaking at events in, you know, everything from Russia to Peru to all points in between. I've never come across anybody who's at peace with money. They might have inherited money. I mean, well, let me give you an example. I spoke in Kuwait. In Kuwait, it's one of the wealthiest countries in the world, and there is so much wealth. People are born into the wealth. They actually get bored with their lives, and they open up small businesses for something to do. And they don't even operate the businesses very well because they don't really care about them. The money is coming in automatically whether they have a good business or not. But here's a surprising thing. They're not at peace with money. They feel guilty. They feel not good enough. They've actually gotten this money given to them, and so part of them feels like, well, I didn't really earn it. I mean, I was brought over there by a princess, and this princess admitted to me that she wanted coaching because she wasn't at peace with money. So this whole money thing goes far deeper and is more of a common belief in all of us than we may have ever imagined. But this is why step one is so important. We want to make peace with money. The reality is money is just a tool. It's just neutral. It's just paper. It's ink. It's just something we agreed on. Thousands of years ago, if I wanted something from you, I'd give you a goat, and you'd give me a bag of corn. And today we worked out a system where I'm going to give you something that looks like green paper or coin, and you'll give me whatever I want in exchange. But we've shot emotionally meaning onto it, and most of it survival related. So I go into this in great length in my book, which again I'm going to give to everybody, so no big deal here. But it is the very first step, and it is an important first step, that we have to make peace with money, make peace with ourselves, and make peace with our sense of deservingness. That's all in step one.
That's all, huh? Right. Those, you know, I think if I can really master those three, I'm doing pretty well in my life.
And well, you would, because when you master those three, everything else falls into place, not just money. But now you're okay with having the ideal relationship. Now you're okay with ideal health. Now you're okay pursuing your dreams, whatever they might be. You can open up your yoga studio or your bakery and specialize in cupcakes or what. Everybody's different, whatever it happens to be. But you'll be at peace. And I don't mean just you, but I mean everybody listening will be at peace, and they know that, hey, money's just a way to achieve my dreams and make them come true. It's not about hoarding. It's not about greed. It's not about evil. Walt Disney said he wanted to make money from his movies so he could make more movies. Do you hear the purity in that? That's the kind of purity we want so that we can have, do, or be virtually anything, including having more money. You want to hear step two?
Absolutely.
Well, we can spend
kind of on pins and needles.
Yeah, well, we can spend so much time on that first step, but there's exercises and stuff in the book that I'll give people. So the second step is about giving. And this is another one. It's a trouble one for people because they probably heard about tithing through their church or a minister or a priest or a rabbi or somebody in the spiritual religious field. I certainly heard about it, but I didn't tithe because I thought, man, it's rigged. This is just some sort of con from the religious world that it's a way for them to get money. They just tell me, hey, give 10% of your income to me and your life will get better. And I remember thinking, yeah, it'll get better for you. It won't get better for me. Well, I finally bit the bullet, though, and started doing it. And so step two is titled Give Without Expectation. And what that means is I teach people to give money in a particular way. I don't say to automatically give it to a church. Now, there's nothing wrong with churches and ministers and all of that. What I do say is give it to wherever you received spiritual nourishment. That could have been from an author's book. That could have been from an Uber driver. That could have been from a waiter or waitress at the restaurant. That could have been from an employee or a fellow employee or your boss. It could come from any number of places. So I ask people to take a deep breath, reflect over the last few days, and say, where did I get inspired? Who or what inspired me? And then give that person or place or institution about 10% of your income over the last week. What happens is a couple things, psychologically and metaphysically. Metaphysically, you are joining the flow of abundance in the world. And so the abundance will return to you because you are in that stream. You're giving out, and it will return back to you. That's the nature of the stream. It's going out, coming back. Think of a tide. But psychologically, it also does something profound. When you give, you tell yourself that you have enough to give. It's a subliminal message of prosperity. You're reconfirming to yourself that you are a person of substance and you have faith in yourself or the universe or what I've been calling lately the great something, and the great something will bestow money on you, the rule of thumb is 10 times over what you just gave out. And so step two is give without expectation, and the expectation means don't expect it to come from the very place you gave it. You can expect a return from your giving, but don't expect it to come from the Uber driver. If you gave 10% of your income to the Uber driver because they inspired you in some way with a story or a comment or who knows what, don't expect your tenfold return to come from that Uber driver. It might, but don't expect it. So give without expectation of the source, but expect it to come to you. Make sense?
Now that's, it makes total sense. And actually, I'm a little bit surprised. I would have expected that that it wasn't okay to expect a return. That you give because you encourage your mindset that you have enough to give. Without expectation, and what you're sharing in your experience is that you can actually have that expectation,
yes,
and you still will receive tenfold.
Yes. Actually, it's part of a new belief system, because the old belief system said, hey, if I give money, I won't get any back. That's why people didn't give. Well, this new belief system says, yeah, if I give money, it's going to come back to me. In fact, it's going to come back in a surprising, unexpected ways, and tenfold, 10 times over. So, yes, I say have that kind of belief system. That's nothing but a healthy mind.
I can feel the power of it right here and now as you share it. I'll certainly, I'm certainly willing to take that on and program that right in.
Do it now. So let's look at step three. I invented this one because I don't remember anybody ever talking about it, but I'm open to being corrected if somebody else did. But I call it prosperous spending. Prosperous spending. So what I'm referring to here is when you are standing in front of an item you want and you have the money for it, you must go ahead and buy it. Now, I am always quickly following up that statement by saying I'm not telling people to go into debt. I'm not telling people to use their credit cards. I'm specifically saying when you have the money, at the same time you have the desire for something, and that feels congruent to you, then you must buy it because it's called prosperous spending. Look at the flip side. If you have the money and you have the desire and the item or service is right there in front of you and you don't buy it, what's the signal you're sending to yourself? I don't have enough. I have to control what I do have. I don't believe in the future. I don't believe in the great something. I don't believe in myself. I don't believe in abundance. It's entirely scarcity-based. But if you have the money and you have the desire and you're there looking at your product or service, you must get it because it's giving you a completely different signal. I deserve this. I have the money for this. I am wealthy enough for this. I am in the abundance of this. I am in the flow of life. The great something is taking care of me. I have faith. I have trust. I know more is coming. So I'm going to take care of myself, and I'm going to act on my desire in the moment with the money. That is called prosperous purchasing or prosperous spending. You want step four, or do you want to let that digest?
Yeah, I'm just digesting that for a moment. And do you, I'm a huge proponent of auto-suggestion and consciously programming right away. So in that step, do you suggest that people might even say things like that to themselves?
Sure.
That you were just repeating while they're actually doing, making that purchase?
That's a wonderful tweak. I'm glad you brought that up. Because I think any of these tools like auto-suggestion or self-programming or giving ourselves new self-talk are wonderful to use, especially when we're doing something that is at first uncomfortable. And whenever we start to do things we haven't done before, we do feel uncomfortable. We stretched out of our comfort zone. We're doing something we haven't done in the past, and so our brain is giving us little tiny yellow alerts, like being on Star Trek, and little beeps start going off. But all it's saying is just be awake, be aware. It doesn't mean don't do it. It means you're doing something you haven't done before. You're looking at the pair of shoes, or you're looking at the leather bag, or you're looking at whatever it happens to be, and then you're looking at the fact that I don't normally do this. And I'm suggesting that it's a new way of being. It's prosperous purchasing. It's a statement of abundance. You have the money right now, you have the desire right now, and you have that scarf or whatever it is in front of you right now. You can use the affirmations, the self-talk, the programming as additional statements to say, I deserve this. I have the money for this. More money is coming to me. I am opening myself to abundance and proving to myself that I believe in the wealth of the universe by making a stand and making a statement and making this purchase. So, yes, I would agree. That's a wonderful addition.
I love that last one. Powerful. Okay. Next step.
Step four. And again, these are all in the book that I'm going to give to everybody, so they'll be able to read it and get the fuller stories on it and exercises around it and integrate it and more deeply understand it. So we're giving you the Cliff Notes version of it. But we're going to go through all seven here. Number four is ask for help. Now, asking for help works on two levels. The very first one is asking for help from those who are around you physically who can help. And I do remember finding that this was very difficult for me because I wanted to do it on my own. And I think a lot of people have that Lone Ranger mentality where they think like they can only feel good about themselves if they do it themselves. That somehow they're weak if they raise their hand and say, look, I need help, I need coaching, I need financial advice, I need business advice, I need, you know, some sort of mindset correction here from somebody else. Most people don't ask for help. And what I've learned is that you will succeed if you ask for help. You have to ask for help from those who have already succeeded in the areas that you are wanting to succeed in. But throughout my life, I know that when I did ask for help, people gave it. I remember being in a seminar, and this was decades ago, and it was back in Houston. And the woman that was leading it asked everybody there, how do you feel when somebody asks you for help? And I remember thinking, well, I feel good. I'm kind of flattered. You know, they asked for my help. She said, that's how virtually everybody feels when you ask for help. They actually want to help you. And if they can and you ask, you can get that leg up that you might be needing. So that's the first level. And again, we're talking about step four, ask for help. The second level of asking for help is a little bit more metaphysical, but I know you and your listeners can handle this. And that's the idea of asking for help from the other side, asking for help from your angels, per se, asking for help from your guides, asking your help from what I now call the great something. But it could be God or the divine or the universe or your higher power. We have lots of different words for this description of something that's bigger than all of us. I remember when I was in Houston and bills would pile up and I'd lay in bed and look across the room at my desk and see that pile of bills and think to myself, I have no idea how I'm going to pay those. None. I also remember saying out loud, okay, angels, take care of this. Pay the bills, show me the way, get me the money, show me what I'm missing, change my beliefs, do whatever needs to be done, handle this, and turn it over. And here I am, you know, those bills have been paid. Everything has been handled. It's all taken care of. But even today, I will still ask for help. It's interesting that you introduced me as a conductor because I am a musician. I have 6 singer-songwriter albums out, and my band, Dr. Joe and the Band of Legends, will be performing soon. And I have actually had to ask for help because I've never done this before. I'm in my early 60s, and I didn't have musical background when I picked up the guitar and said, you know, I want to start recording and singing and writing songs. Well, at this point, I've made those 6 albums. I made an additional 10 albums that are all instrumental. I've studied with Melissa Etheridge at her home, in her home studio, to learn songwriting. And I have been on stage with bands. And I can go on and on and on. But in order for me to learn this and to build up the confidence to do this, I've had to ask for help on both levels. Ask musicians for help, ask coaches to help me with beliefs, but also ask my angels. It's like, hey, get my back here, because I'm nervous. So step four is about asking for help, but it's on two levels. Got it?
Got it.
All right, let's go to step five. This is a cool one. They're all cool, but this is super cool. It's called Nevelize Your Goals. Nevelize Your Goals. Nevelize is a coined word. There was a teacher, a mystical teacher named Neville, Neville Goddard. Most people know him as Neville. He wrote a lot of little books. He spoke a lot. And he really tried to teach people that their imagination was really God. Their imagination was what was creating their lives and could recreate their lives in the ways that they preferred. But he taught his version of imagination and visualization differently than other people. Most people, when they imagine things or imagine what they want, whether it's money or anything, sit here and imagine it off in the future. They see themselves having the money someday down the road. But Neville said to imagine that it already is happening now, today. In fact, if you were imagining having a new car, and I now have a car collection and I teach people how to attract a new car, so that always comes up in my conversations. If you were trying to attract a new car, most people would cut out a picture of it and they would look at it and put it on their vision board and they'd visualize it and this, that, and the other. Neville would say, imagine it's already in your driveway and you drove it this morning. What did it feel like to get in the car? What did it feel like to turn the ignition? What did it feel like to put your hands on the steering wheel? What did it feel like to zip down the road in your car? So to Nevelize your goals is to imagine that you already have money, that you look in your bank account and the money is there, and you imagine looking in your wallet or your purse or wherever, you know, your mattress. I don't know where people put money these days. But you're looking and you feel it. That's the key with Neville. You feel it as if it's happening right now. You already have money is Nevelizing your goal. I recorded a song with a Grammy-nominated singer, Ruthie Foster, and it was called Feel It Real. And that was a direct nod to Neville. It was the idea that if you want more money, instead of wishing for it or affirming it, or imagining it, all of which work, you can accelerate the process of having it in your life by imagining having it now. That's Nevelizing your goals.
Feel it real. I love that. You got to trademark that.
Feel it real.
Yeah,
cool,
you got to TM that.
Feel it real.
And, you know, is there a hack or some tips on getting into the feeling state? You know, even for myself, I've done this for a while, I can have it can take a little longer than I'd like sometimes, getting actually into the feeling state, really, and sometimes when I'm, let's say, inspired with a beautiful view, that really helps me. We're out in nature, moving my body. These are things that can start gearing up my feeling state. What suggestions do you have for really getting, because I hear this from clients and people I work with as well, that getting into that feeling state isn't so easy as they'd like.
Well, there's a whole lot of different things. I talk about some in the book, Attract Money Now, and again, I'm going to give it to everybody in a minute. But the listening to music can uplift people and direct people to it. And each person is going to be different in what they like. The song Feel It Real that I recorded, I forget which album it's on, I'm trying to see it. But it's on iTunes. Somebody can look up iTunes and look up Feel It Real by Joe Vitale and Ruthie Foster. And that might be the one that actually does it for them. I also find movies will often do it. If I watch a movie of somebody who is experiencing what I want to experience, I can identify with the character enough for me to start to feel what I imagine he or she is feeling. And yeah, that's a big one. And another one
that's
is to actually go to the best of your ability and experience what you want to have now. So what that means is, for example, one of my assistants has been wanting a new car. And so I've just on the side coached her about it. And I told her one of the best things to do is, first of all, you go online you pick out the car you want, and almost every car manufacturer has a configurator on their website. You can go in and pick the color you want, the options you want, and everything. And when you're done, you have a photo of your car. So then put that on your computer, and you can look at the photo. Now start imagining that you own it. And the next step is go to a car dealership and drive it. So you have the bodily feeling of owning the car. You will be in it. Your hands will be on the steering wheel. It's the same thing if somebody is wanting to attract a bigger house. I'd go to open houses. I'd be going and walking through them. I have a friend who's in the flooring business, and he says he's in million-dollar homes every day because he's analyzing their floors. And I'm thinking, how cool is this for this guy to be absorbing the vibe of millions to multi-million-dollar homes simply by walking out through them? So those are just some examples, but I'm sure a creative mind could come up with some more so they can nevelize it. That's step
Great.
Five.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Dr. Joe.
Sure. So step six. Step six is also a lot of fun. We are on step six, right?
We are.
Okay. I'm glad somebody's keeping track here. Step six is think like an entrepreneur. This is something we can all learn to do, because when I was growing up, I didn't know what the word entrepreneur even meant. And during the time that I was homeless or in poverty, I still had a bad attitude towards money and slowly was working on cleaning that up. And I also want to remind people that when I was doing the work on myself, it was entirely by myself. I didn't have the internet. I didn't have all the wonderful resources. I didn't have, you know, wisdom series like this very call that we're doing here and all the work that you're doing and providing for people. So I was doing it on my own, which meant it took a lot longer for me. Today, people can change in a nanosecond. They hear the right story. They hear the right quote. They're in the right frame of mind, and everything shifts. And that's my intention for people listening to this call. I want them to shift today because of something you say, something I say, something somebody else processes. I want that spark to take place, and the change begins now. So when I say think like an entrepreneur, some people might go, I don't know how to think like an entrepreneur. Yeah, I didn't either. So I had to read books by entrepreneurs. I had to read business books, all of which I absorbed. I loved them. I found them fantastic. But one thing, and this is the big tip for everybody right here, this is a million-dollar tip in and of itself, turn complaints into products or services. And what that means is whenever you say something that's a complaint or you overhear somebody state a complaint, start to imagine how you can solve it. Because if you're complaining and somebody else is complaining, there is probably a market for the solution to that complaint. For example, I think it was just today I saw a news bulletin that said somebody invented an app to help you get out of speeding tickets. Why? Because the person was driving and they got a speeding ticket and they said, man, somebody needs to do something about this. I don't know if they were thinking like an entrepreneur, but they were demonstrating how to think like an entrepreneur because they heard their own complaint. They created an app that is popular enough that it was in the headlines today, at least when I saw it, and they're going to make money from that app because they solved a complaint. They solved the problem, in this case, their own. But think of I mentioned Uber and Uber drivers. I believe the founder of Uber was in another country when he got the idea because he was trying to get a cab, and it took so long, he kept thinking, why can't I use my smartphone, push a button, and get a ride? And that was a complaint turned into a product. And so there are countless stories of that kind of mentality, but we can all learn how to do it. When you think like an entrepreneur, the world becomes your oyster because you can be coming up with all kind of different products or services or business, and you don't have to run them all. I want to assure everybody, as an entrepreneur, you usually get other people to do the work. You're the idea person. You're the kickstart person, and you get that going and then move on to something else. So that would be step six, think like an entrepreneur.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing just to piggyback on what you're sharing about Kickstart. in this day and age, it's so amazing that people can solve problems and then get crowdfunding to do it. So you don't even have to worry about the money also. That can come too.
Yeah, I love Kickstarter. I have and ones like it, but Kickstarter has been fantastic. I have seen people post projects where they only wanted something like $20,000, but because their item was so popular, they would raise $1 million. And I mean, it's just incredible. And I've seen bands go there and ask for money. We live in this age where miracles are just happening right and left. Thinking like an entrepreneur, using Kickstarter, all of these kind of combinations can help virtually anybody. Actually, I'm of the mind, I'm going to make a bold statement here that might rattle a few people.
Do it.
But
make it, Joe.
My feeling today, based on all of my research in this field of attracting money and wealth creation, is that it's almost impossible not to make money today unless you willfully push it away.
Mm. Wow.
Yes.
That's a sobering statement.
Yes.
Isn't it?
And why would anybody willfully push it away? Because of their unconscious beliefs. They don't think money is good. They don't think they deserve it. They think in some way it'll ruin their lives or ruin the people around them, all of which are incorrect, limiting beliefs. Change those beliefs, and you can have wealth. And when you have wealth, you can make a difference in the world, which actually leads to step 7. Step 7 is help your community and your world. It's a form of giving back. I don't really like the phrase giving back because it implies that you took something, so you have to give it back. So I don't think that's an accurate phrase. But I think being part of the flow of life means you're not in this alone. You're not the sole individual of the planet. We're here as a co-creation. And there are pockets of the world that you probably care about. And again, I don't mean you. I mean everybody listening. For me, I've wanted to end homelessness. I even started a program called Operation Yes. And I came out with a book called Operation Yes. Yes means your economic salvation. And all of it was designed to bring to light the idea that we could end homelessness, much like Abe Lincoln wanting to end slavery. Let's bring the concept and then the reality to light. And this is a cause that I believe in. And the more money that I can bring in, the more I can help other people, the more I can help causes I believe in. And that's where step 7 comes in. Because I have found sometimes people can allow more money into their lives if they know that it's not all going to them, not personally. I mean, they're going to bring in money and they're going to do whatever they need to do to have a great life and fulfill their dreams. But by extension, they can help their family. I've helped my family tremendously with wealth and so forth. They can help friends, which I've done. They can help the community, which I've done many times. They can help the planet. So money ends up being this force for good, this spiritual tool, this kind of blessed power that we can use for ourselves. Yeah, let's have some fun with our money, but also let's distribute it. Let's send it to causes we believe in. Let's become stewards for it, and let's awaken the planet so that they all can have money. So step 7 is thinking really beyond yourself. It's including yourself, but it's about helping your community and your world. And I'll take a bow and say those are the 7
Here
steps.
Here we go.
They're in my book.
There's your applause, conductor.
They're in my book, Attract Money Now, and I did promise people could have it. Just go to attractmoneynow.com, www.attractmoneynow.com, and you can download the book and read it. It is a full-length book, a couple hundred pages, lots more chapters, including things like 29 ways to attract money right now. And there's some bonuses, including a divine way. That'll blow people's mind. A divine way to clear limiting beliefs about money. That's a biggie. And, of course, there's so much in this thing. But it's free. Attract Money Now. It is sold on Amazon. If somebody wants the Kindle version, I think Amazon sells it for $1. I think there is a hardcover version. If somebody wants that, I think it's $30 for the hardcover. They can get that at attractmoneynowbook.com. But I did promise the free version. That's over at attractmoneynow.com.
And we'll have that link for y'all right there. You've probably actually already seen that free gift link. Just click on that, and it'll take you right there. So we've made it real easy for you. Great. Well, before I let you go, I'd love to know, you know, what's coming up next for you, all the audience now that you've connected with. You know, maybe they can, you can share a little bit about where you're going, how they can connect with you a little bit more now that they have got their toes wet and they're ready to wade in.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Sheldon. Well, I'm all over the internet. I mean, geez, I have books, I have audios, I have a coaching program, miraclescoaching.com. I've got my music. It's at allhealingmusic.com. I've got a YouTube channel. I've got a podcast. I've got a blog. I think the easiest thing to do is go to my main website, which is a portal to everything. And the main website is my name, joevitale.com, joevitale.com. Or you can get there by using my nickname, Mr. Fire, MRFIRE.com, MRFIRE.com. Both will get you to the portal site, and that will take you to everything. So pack a picnic basket and bring some wine and cheese because you'll be there for a while.
Perfect. Yeah. Love it. Dr. Joe, thank you so much for being here. Really, really appreciate you. Very grateful that you are on the planet at the same time I am. And that you're doing what you do.
Same here. Thank you for inviting me. You're doing great work. Godspeed to all your listeners. Let me know if I can help in any other way. Thanks for the honor of being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for the honor of being here as well. And everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. And tune in to the next masterclass where we'll have another awesome speaker for you. Okay, everybody. God bless. Talk to you soon.